Greetings and welcome back to Scripture and Prophecy. I'm your host, Sean, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. Today is Friday, September 22nd, 2017. It's the Feast of Trumpets, the Day of Shouting, the Day of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. And I wanted to record something this morning, you know, on this very, very potentially significant day. It's the day to remember, you know, to blow the trumpets as a memorial. And if you haven't caught the two episodes I've done over the last couple of weeks on Rosh Hashanah, I think you should listen to them. I think they'll be a blessing to you. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpets, ends at sunset. And if we're going based on Jerusalem, which I think we should be, that would be about 6:35 in Jerusalem, which makes it about 11:35-ish here in the United States, Eastern Time. You'll have to do the math if you're in a different time zone, but, you know, and I got up this morning and took my shower and did a little praying and blew the shofar before and after praying. Very pathetically, I might add, but I'm sure Abba Father appreciates the effort. You know, just like any father appreciates when his kids try, when his kids do something because they love him, when they draw him a picture. You know, if your kid draws you a picture, it might be the ugliest thing ever, you know, drawn. It may look like nothing but a blob, but to you, it's beautiful. Because it's your child's way of saying, I love you. And, you know, here I wanted to make you this thing. I wanted to do this thing for you. And I'm sure Abba Father feels that way. You know, I took the day off from work because the Word says, do not do any servile work. You know, it's to be a Sabbath day. And so I took the day off of work and I bought a little shofar and I blew it as best I could out of my love for the Father. And so, you know, sometimes I think people, they want to observe things, or they want to try to do things to please Abba Father, and they don't do it because they don't feel like they can do it well enough. And I just want you to remember that thought. You know, the kid who draws the picture gives it to their mom, gives it to their father, and what that means to the parent receiving that. And so I also didn't want to leave you guys without a podcast today, because I'm trying to do 4 to 5 a week. We've only done 2 this week, so this will be number 3. And I didn't want to spend a whole other episode talking about Rosh Hashanah, because I've really covered that very well. And I'm reminded that we started the book of James. We read the first 3 chapters, but we didn't read 4 and 5, which are very, very important chapters. And so that's what I'm going to do here today. We're going to work through chapter 4 and chapter 5. And, you know, I just want to say, I know that things have been kind of sporadic lately with the podcast. It's just because I've been experimenting. I've been trying to figure out what I want to do. I want to teach the Torah over the next year. So I've been wrestling with that, how to go about it. And then now I'm still wrestling with, well, the new Torah schedule starts over in the second week of October, I believe. But we just covered Genesis 1 through 11, which is the first 2 weeks of the Torah portion. So what do I do? You know, so I'm still trying to figure that out. And we're also going to try to do a gospel portion where we're reading out the gospels every week. And so I'm really hoping that, you know, the effort and the work that I'm doing is blessing you. And if you could just hang on for another 30 days with me while I still sort this stuff out, I think we'll get on a schedule, a predictable schedule. And we'll be able to accomplish the goal, which is to get through the Torah and the Gospels. And guess what? If we're doing this 4 or 5 days a week, we're going to be a lot more knowledgeable about God. We're going to be a lot closer to God. We're going to have a greater understanding about His Word and end time prophecies and what's going on in the world. We're going to have a greater grasp on what Jesus actually did and said and what it actually looks like to follow Him. Contrary to what the church teaches, my friends, it's completely different. You read what's in the Bible, it's completely different from what's taught in 99% of the churches. And so that's the goal, that's the plan. Real quick before I get started, last thing I want to mention, if you go to the website, scriptureandprophecy.com, that's where you go to support the podcast and me. Your donations and subscriptions go to pay for hosting and things like that, but it also helps put food on the table. So I really, really appreciate those of you who do that. Your generosity is way more than I deserve, because I don't really deserve anything for doing this. This is my privilege. It really is. It's a privilege for me to do this, to participate in this. All right, enough jibber jabber. Let's take a look at the book of James and let's finish it. James chapter 4 and 5. Let's begin. Verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. You ask and ye receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that this scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Let's stop there for a second. There's a lot right there. First of all, James is saying, you know what? You have not because you don't ask. Okay? And then when you do ask, you still don't receive what you're asking for from the Father because you ask with wrong motivations. That's what he's getting at here. You know, a lot of people are like, man, I wish this situation would be different, or I wish my relationship with God would be different, or whatever it is, but they never get on their face before him and pray and repent and say, this is what I'm dealing with, help me, Father. And a lot of times, the people will ask, you know, hey, I need help with this situation, but their motives are evil. Their reason for wanting what they're wanting is selfish. It's not to bring glory to the kingdom of God, it's not to help someone else. And that's why our prayers aren't answered. And then he goes on to say, you adulterers and you adulteresses, do you not get it? Don't you understand that friendship with the world puts you in a position of being an enemy with God? Guys, you can't have both. Yes, we live in the world, we have to go to work, we have our hobbies, we have these things. But if you're chasing the things of this world, and you're in agreement with the filth of this world, you put yourself in a position to be enemies with God. I'm seeing this so much in the church today. Embracing every wicked and filthy thing, every perverse and abominable thing, is not only being tolerated by the church, it's being embraced and adopted by the church. The church wants to be the world. And they use excuses like, well, we just need to be relevant to reach people for Christ. Well, you're reaching people with the false Christ, for starters. So be relevant as you may. The people that are coming in are false converts, and most of them aren't saved because you're teaching worldly, nothingness instead of teaching the actual word of God. You know, pastors would rather have 500 people donating and telling them how great they are than 30 people who are actually on fire for God. And so James is saying, don't you get it? Don't you understand? Friendship with the world is enmity with God. Verse 6. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he give grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Again, this chapter is just loaded. He's saying, draw near to God, cleanse yourself, cleanse your hands. You know, there's this idea in the church that, oh, you don't have to clean yourself up. Don't do anything. Jesus does it all. Well, I read a lot of scriptures where it talks about making sure your garments are clean. Christ is coming back for a spotless bride. Clean yourself up and draw near to the Lord. Get your act together. Purify your hearts. Don't be double-minded, James is saying. In other words, he's still talking about this. Don't be part of the world and try to be part of the assembly of God. Make your decision. Humble yourselves. He says, be afflicted, mourn, weep. In other words, get serious about this. Be mourning over your sin and over your condition. Understand that you need Christ. Understand that you need to follow Messiah, not just say, ooh, I believe. Verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas you know not what you shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanquish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. He's saying, don't be talking about what you're going to do tomorrow. Don't be talking about, I'll use myself as an example. I have some pretty strong goals, you know. Most of you know that I'm into fitness and triathlon's kind of my passion. And there happens to be an Ironman in my local city every year. And so for the next year, I'm training to do the Ironman. Because it takes about that long to prepare for such an event if you want to do it well. But when I tell people about it, I always say, Lord willing, I'm going to do this amount of training. Lord willing, I'm going to do that Ironman, which happens to be on my birthday next year. Lord willing. Because here's what I know, is that tomorrow is promised to no man. And one day can change your life forever. One event can change the course of history. You know, I've got one of my screens here, I've got the live cam for Jerusalem at the Wailing Wall pulled up because it's the Feast of Trumpets. I'm watching very closely because I know that in a moment, the world can change. And my goals and my times are not God's goals and not God's timing. And so I have to be willing to fall in line whenever God says, do this or do that. And so, Lord willing, I'm going to try to accomplish these things. But I know that tomorrow is not promised to anyone and that my life is nothing. Like James says, your life is but a vapor. It's gone before you know it. Don't talk about how you're going to do this and that. You're going to go into the city. You're going to go do this. Or you're going to go on this vacation. It's not wrong to plan for those things. But understand that it's Lord willing. If the Lord wills, I will do this. If he does not will it, I will not do it. If he tells me, stop doing that, I have to be willing to stop because it's about walking in obedience to God out of my love for him and my appreciation for what his son Jesus did on the cross, not out of obligation to try to earn salvation. But what you do, and I bring this up all the time, what you do demonstrates what you actually believe, as James has beat into our heads throughout his whole letter. Faith without works is dead. I'll show you my faith by what I do. So if you say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. I am a follower of... Here's the new thing. People say, well, I don't want to say I'm a Christian. I just say I'm a follower of Jesus. Well, does your life say that? Because your life and what you do, what you actually do, demonstrates what you actually believe. So if you just love to walk after lust and sin and do your own thing and chase the pleasures of this world and you have no regard for the things of God other than to say, ooh, I've been saved, then what you really are saying is that you don't believe the Bible is true. You believe in Christianity as a religion, but you don't believe the Word of God. Because if you did, you would be living it out. Quite simply, my friends. Not perfectly, but increasingly so. Moving on to chapter 5, verse 1. Go to now, ye rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them that shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat, they shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your field, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure, and on the earth, and have been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just. And he doeth not resist you. He's saying, he's warning the rich. Look, you've done this. You've taken advantage of all these people all these years. That's not going to fly forever. And then here is the encouragement to those of us. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And I'm thinking today, as I'm watching the Feast of Trumpets today, and I'm not necessarily expecting a rapture, and I don't think anything's going to come of September 23rd. Although I do believe it's possible, I never rule these things out. What do I know? If a man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet that he ought to know. But I always watch this day with great expectation. What if this is the day that the world changes forever? What if this is the day that we hear the trumpet sound from the sky? Maybe this is the day that the wrath begins, the tribulation starts. I don't know. But James is saying you need to be patient because he's just waiting for the fruit to be ready. And when it's time to harvest that fruit, he's going to do it. Be encouraged because his coming draws nigh. And here we are, 2,000 years after James wrote this. How much closer are we? Of course, we are actually witnessing the things that were prophesied. We're witnessing them come to pass on almost a daily basis at this point. The coming of the Lord draws near. Verse 9, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. In other words, just do as you say you're going to do. You don't need to make a promise or an oath. Just do it. If you say you're going to do it, do it. If you say you're not going to do it, don't do it. Verse 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of the faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did you catch that? The prayers of the righteous matter. Those who are really walking with God When they pray, things happen. Things change. Verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to the passions as we are. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And that is how the book of James ends. James ends by saying, listen, if you help a brother who's fallen in sin, and you convert that sinner from his error, and he comes into the faith, you have saved a soul from death. But not just that. That act of saving that person from death, showing them the error of their way so that they might come into relationship with God, will cover a multitude of your own sins. That's what the word says. Either believe the word or you don't. That is the reading for this morning. I'm glad we finally got to that because, man, what is the book of James without those last two chapters? So much things that we can draw from it. Very, very powerful. Very powerful indeed. Well, I hope it blessed you. I hope that you have a great Feast of Trumpets. Hey, who knows? Who knows what today will bring? I have no idea. Some are expecting rapture. Some are expecting war. Can I be honest and say that that's what I'm expecting as well? I could be wrong. What do I know? I just feel like Israel's supposed to get a lot bigger according to the prophecies, and this is the Jubilee year that just ended. We are now at the first day. Technically it's the seventh month and the first day of the seventh month, Tishri. Oh, man. I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe nothing happens. Maybe World War III starts. Maybe this is the year that it all goes down. Maybe things continue to go on as they did. If that's the case, then guess what? Occupy till the Lord comes. Spread the good news of the kingdom that is to come, the gospel of Jesus, the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. Don't be discouraged. Hopefully not too many of you are too wrapped in, up in this, the September 23rd stuff, which doesn't even fall on a Moed. I'm not saying that nothing will happen. You know, that would be great. You know, if the people who are predicting the thing that's supposed to happen on the 23rd, that would be amazing. I'm not against that. I just don't know if it's biblical. But again, we have to be careful not to judge one another, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, not to just disregard every little thing and be skeptical about every little thing. What do we know? Our life is but a vapor. And again, the scriptures say, if any man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet that he ought to know. The more I learn, the more I figure out that there's not much that I actually know. So we shall see. Peace and grace be with all of you. Lord willing, I'll be back with you again on Monday for our Torah study. Shalom, and God bless.